You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to another episode of How To 20-Something. Today's episode is all about the different types of fasting, where I'm going to explain to you who should be fasting and why, as well as how to make it healthy and not disordered, depending on the type you are choosing. And this episode actually came from one of you from a few months ago after receiving a question about fasting in my DMs. And I said, this would make a fantastic episode topic. So here we are. Oh, and before I forget, I want to remind you that tonight, as in if you're listening to this episode the day it drops, Monday, April 29th at 7:30 p.m., that's not when this episode drops, it drops at 5 a.m., but tonight at 7:30 p.m., I will be hosting a free workshop to help you overcome your biggest fears and be able to conquer anything you set your mind to because fear is no longer holding you back. It's taking place on Zoom for 1 hour. And it's on a Monday night, and I would love to see your face in the Zoom room. So head on over to justdiamondcoaching.com/fear, F-E-A-R, and sign up before it's too late. But it's going to be the 5 confidence-killing fears and what to do about them. Now, back to the topic of today's episode, fasting. What is it? How can you incorporate it? And how to avoid abusing it? To begin, fasting is abstaining from food and or drinks for a set period of time. This could mean a couple of hours to several days, and all come with different reasons and benefits as well as risks if not conducted properly. Intermittent fasting is probably the one that you are the most familiar with and can range in timing by a lot. You could do a 16-8 fast where you go without food for 16 hours, usually including your sleep time, and then eat in an 8-hour window. This is referred to as the lean gains protocol, but no one really calls it that. We just call it intermittent fasting. There's the warrior version of this, which is fasting for 20 hours and eating for 4, usually directing your food consumption to the evening time, and it's inspired by the eating patterns of ancient warriors, hence the name. With this one, they say you can eat raw fruits and veggies and some meats in the 20-hour period, but most people refrain from eating at all. And then there's a 5-2 diet, where you eat normal for 5 days and then drastically cut your calories down, if not completely fast, for 2 non-consecutive days. But here's the problem with intermittent fasting. Most people who go for this style of eating do not consume the right amount of nutrients to have this be a healthier alternative. They use it as a way to justify skipping meals instead of focusing on reaching their macro and micronutrients, which only enhances the risk for developing, if not encouraging, disordered eating habits. One of my aunts has a history of disordered anorexia nervosa and does use the term intermittent fasting as a way to reason that barely eating throughout the day is actually healthy, when it's not. She's severely limiting her food consumption because of her relationship to food and her body. A lot of people will also disrupt their intermittent fasting schedules for holidays or special occasions and times when stress is really high, and therefore negate any of the potential benefits that come with this style of eating. Another negative effect is it can trigger cravings because you're depriving yourself of food and ignoring your body's natural hunger cues. So when it is time for you to eat, you overindulge on high-calorie, unhealthy foods during your eating window. It creates a very imbalanced relationship with food and goes solely off of time, which back in caveman times, you know, I love referring back to that time period from an evolutionary standpoint, but back in caveman times, we couldn't tell time. There were no clocks. Your body can't tell time. It goes off of circadian rhythm, which is largely influenced by the sun or daytime and nighttime. And intermittent fasting creates this disconnect between what your body is communicating to you and how you're choosing to respond, thereby placing an unnecessary stressor on your body. Now, there are benefits to intermittent fasting, which I will get into in a moment, but before I do that, I want to highlight some other negatives. And that starts with saying that females should not intermittent fast, at least not all the time, because it is a very regimented diet and operates on a strict 24-hour cycle. Women do not operate on a 24-hour cycle, and we require different nutritional needs at different times in a given month. So when you abide by such a forced way of eating that doesn't take your hormonal needs into consideration, you end up fucking your hormones up. Women also require different nutritional needs, and intermittent fasting, when done improperly, as in you just decide to cut out a meal, robs you of a lot of these necessary nutrients that would otherwise come from food. So if you do choose the style of eating, for whatever reason, you really need to be more cautious as to what it is you are eating during your eating window. That goes for both men and women, but specifically women, as in you need more nutrient-dense foods. Intermittent fasting for both men and women can be good for weight loss in the short term, but not the long term because of the metabolic adaptations that occur when you go to decrease your calories. Remember, your body is really, really good at adapting to whatever you tell it to. So if you are sending a signal saying you don't need as much food anymore, then your body will conserve its calorie burning processes or become really good at not burning as much calories throughout the day because it knows it won't be replenished with as much food. This is what makes weight loss more difficult over time. So you might find yourself with less energy to move around your place and clean it up, or find it difficult to go from errand to errand on the weekend without feeling exhausted. If you're a fidgeter, you're probably going to fidget less or slower because that burns calories too. And then worst of all, your body is going to get rid of your muscle if you stay in this process of undereating for far too long, because muscle is expensive tissue to hold on to and upkeep, meaning your body burns calories to preserve your muscle. So if you told your body that it needs to learn how to exist on less calories, then it is going to pare down muscle to keep you alive. Another drawback with intermittent fasting is if you are truly abiding by it, then you are to be eating in that same window every day and fasting in the same window every day. So it's a very strict method to consuming food that it starts to take away from your quality of life. Meaning, if your window is, say, 12 to 8, if you're doing a 16-8 fast, and your friends want to get brunch at 11 or go out for drinks at 9 p.m., then technically, you can't also eat and drink with them. When I was first becoming a coach, I had a client who was intermittent fasting and would run into these issues, and he would choose to break his fast earlier or extend it later. I really tried to help him see the other ways to eating healthy and not overindulging, and we did make some great progress in that realm, especially because he realized how this style of eating was affecting his quality of life and his relationships. The final thing that you should be very cautious of is that intermittent fasting promotes disordered eating behaviors, as I briefly mentioned a few moments ago. Not in everyone, but the skipping meals and not eating enough during your window promotes this risky relationship with food. Women are statistically more prone to developing an eating disorder than men are, which is another reason as to why intermittent fasting might not be the best option for a female. Now, regardless of anything I say, please consult a professional or your healthcare provider before making any decisions. I'm just here to present you with information and tools and debunk some misguided information I see on the internet. Because your favorite social media influencer hides the potential drawbacks and only talks about their unique benefits. But just because it worked for them does not mean it's going to work in the same way for you. Everyone is different. Everyone's body is going to respond differently, so it's important that you have all the information to make an informed decision that is going to work best for you. This message stays the same for everything. I think I brought it up in the episode on the truth behind training for your cycle, because it's true. There is an individual variance in everything. But that being said, here are the benefits to intermittent fasting. It is helpful with initial weight loss. solely because you are reducing your overall caloric intake. You are restricting your eating window, so you are naturally going to consume less food, which will then lead to weight loss. Not necessarily fat loss, but overall weight loss. As a result, there is evidence of using intermittent fasting to help with visceral fat loss, which is the fat that hugs your organs, not the fat on your love handles. And you do want to decrease your visceral fat so you can have healthy organs and not be at risk for developing heart disease at the age of 30. Intermittent fasting is also helpful if you have a pesky habit of returning to the pantry throughout the evening after you've had dinner and you just like a late night snack. This time-restricted window prevents you from giving into your habits, which is also helpful when trying to lose weight because now you're not consuming those extra couple hundred calories well into the evening. So from a habit-changing standpoint, it is extremely beneficial. Honestly, the biggest benefit I've heard from intermittent fasting is improved cognitive function. This does not happen for everyone, but there have been numerous reports of improved concentration, memory, and overall brain health during the fasting times. This is due to the increase in a specific protein in your brain that supports health and function called brain-derived neurotrophic factors, or BDNF. There's a podcast I listen to where one of the hosts loves to fast when he has a big event coming up, or a podcast guest that he's the guest on a podcast, and he'll fast through that event or through that recording because he feels sharper and can think a lot more clearly. Personally, when I fast, I feel groggy and lightheaded and I'm only thinking about wanting food, and I also have to be up really early, so I'm moving a lot through the first half and last half of my day, whereas a fasting time window doesn't support my energy needs that I personally need due to my job and the work that I do and the demands that I place on my body. Intermittent fasting has also been proven to decrease inflammatory markers in your body, which is very helpful for people with any autoimmune disorders, and it'll just help with their quality of life. Basically, intermittent fasting is more beneficial if you are incorporating it to promote health and not so much for long-term fat loss. When it comes down to you as the individual, it's really up to you to see what works and what doesn't, and just try it out with an open and curious mind to learn more about your behavior around food as well as how you feel when you do fast. And regardless of the time chunk you select, please focus on eating the right amount of nutrients for your body's needs and consult a professional if you need help, as this is not something you should go into blindly. But those are essentially the pros and cons for intermittent fasting, and within intermittent fasting, you have the different types of intermittent fasting. Another type of fasting is a 24-hour fast, all the way up to a 72-hour fast, so a 1 to 3 day fast, and this one has nothing to do with weight loss and more to do with your relationship to food. So this is good for someone who is a time-based eater, meaning it's noon, so you're going to have lunch. Rather than listening to your body's hunger cues, you watch the time for when you should be eating next. When you take a healthy break from food, you allow yourself to change the way you think about food and time and more about your own body signals. This type of fasting is also beneficial to my emotional eaters. So if you gravitate towards the kitchen when you're bored or stressed or sad, then using this mechanism can also help you break your relationship to food and find other ways to help you cope with your current emotion. You'll see 24-hour fasts in a lot of religious practices or as a way to reset your system and how you interact with food. In fact, you'll see a lot of different types of fasting across different religions. For example, in the Jewish religion, you fast for 24 hours from sundown to sundown during Yom Kippur as a way to atone for your sins from the prior year, as it occurs directly after the celebration of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. It's a religious practice to wipe your slate clean and ask for forgiveness. In the Islamic religion, you fast during the month of Ramadan from dawn to sunset, dawn to dusk, as a way to purify the soul, strengthen your relationship with Allah, and be more mindful of your actions and thoughts and behaviors. So similarly to Yom Kippur, Ramadan is also an opportunity for Muslims to seek forgiveness for past sins and make positive changes moving forward. In Christianity, you fast during Lent. not in the same way of not eating any food, but you are fasting from certain foods such as dairy, meat, or sweets as a form of self-discipline and spiritual reflection, and also as a way to focus on repentance and forgiveness and bring you closer to God. It's to prepare your heart and mind for a season of spiritual growth and renewal that is symbolized by the celebration of Easter. There are other religious practices that also incorporate fasting in some way, shape, or form, but those are the three most widely known. So I wanted to bring them up to show you that fasting has always been a part of our lifestyle in one way or another. And I actually want to piggyback off of Lent, because outside of this religious practice, this type of fasting is called partial fasting, and it can be done at any time, for any amount of time, and by anyone, not just during Lent, and not just by those who participate or practice Lent. This is pretty common if you are someone who is experiencing side effects from foods you're eating, and don't really know what's causing these headaches, or bloating, or stomach aches, or inflammation, or exhaustion. One of my friends, Courtney, she was realizing how awful she was feeling from food and decided to cut out gluten in January just to see what would happen, and immediately felt better and is now actually considering getting tested for celiac. My other friend Katie cut out dairy and gluten when she was suffering with a lot of bloating after eating and wanted to see if those food groups were part of the problem. She discovered she has no issues with gluten but will be dairy-free for the foreseeable future. I personally cut out dairy when I was trying to figure out my skin issues back in the winter of 2022, and I got lucky that my first guess was correct and have been dairy-free ever since. Dairy and gluten are the two most common intolerances, which is why people tend to start with eliminating those from their diet first when figuring out what's upsetting their body. But I also know people who will go on a sweets fast for a little, or even a coffee fast when you become too dependent on caffeine and need to reset your system. So these partial fasts are beneficial for helping you detach from a specific food or drink you would typically eat and maybe have a weaker relationship with, or if you need to figure out where all of your health problems are coming from. Again, I want to reiterate that none of these fasting protocols have anything to do with long-term weight loss or fat loss, but for other health factors or from a habit standpoint. Another type of fasting is prolonged fasting, and this is where you fast for multiple days at a time, and this should not be done without consulting a doctor first, as you could really mess yourself up with this one. People will typically participate in prolonged fasts when they are trying to promote cellular regeneration. Basically, fasting for a longer period of time triggers a process called autophagy, which is when the body removes damaged or dysfunctional cells. So it's a disease preventative mechanism that has been proven effective across a couple of different studies. And then, like the other types of fasting, prolonged fasting also helps with your eating habits, relationship to food, mental clarity and focus. It's a system reset, and it's also a personal challenge to test your own willpower. The last type of fasting that I want to mention is OMAD, which stands for one meal a day, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Someone who does OMAD is consuming all of their nutrients and calories in one sitting, with typically a 1 hour window, and then 23 hours of fasting. This, of course, leads an individual to consume less calories overall, which is what will lead to weight loss, but it's the same as going into a caloric deficit, only with a lot more discipline and restriction with the time you're able to eat. This is the most rigid form when it comes to fasting, since you are only given one window within a 24-hour span to eat your food, and then you're done for the next 23 hours. Of course, the time you eat can vary, but you shouldn't let it vary too much, otherwise you're just kind of missing the point of OMAD fasting. The focus of this one meal is that it needs to be super, super nutrient dense, and it will leave you feeling really full after because of how much you need to consume in that one sitting. We're talking around 1,500 to 2,000 calories at once. I personally would never do this because I hate the feeling of being super full, but like all these other types of fasting, you need to consult your doctor beforehand. It is so easy to abuse this type of diet, and it can lead to hormonal repercussions. Your workouts will need to change. Your energy might drop. Blood sugar levels drastically spike and drop. You'll have increased in muscle soreness, increased risk of injury, risk of messing up your metabolism, and so many more negative repercussions, which is why this isn't something you should decide to do without research and consulting your doctor. At the end of the day, it's your body and your choice with what you want to do, and there is nothing wrong with fasting, especially every couple of months as a way to reset. But if you are after sustainable weight loss and fat loss, then this is not the route for you to do long term, or the route for you to do for the purpose of weight loss and fat loss. Your body is your temple. This is not a form of punishment or restriction. Use it for its proper benefits, like mental clarity, or improving your relationship to food, or developing mental discipline, or if you're just curious and want to give it a try. If you have any other questions about which one you want to try for yourself, then please do not hesitate to reach out to me and ask. My email is always in the show notes for you to access, but I also want to say that I am not a registered dietitian or a certified nutritionist. I am a nutrition coach, so I can give you information and help you decide, but it's your doctor that should be the person to give you the all clear. And ask to get your blood markers and hormone levels tested before and during, just to make sure you're not making any unhealthy decisions. But those are the main different types of fasting. We've got intermittent fasting, and then the types within that. We've got fasting for religious purposes, partial fasting, prolonged fasting, and OMAD fasting. Many options, all with similar benefits that has nothing to do with weight loss. So give one a try. I know my sister and I fast for Yom Kippur, and that's kind of our once a year fast. But plan out what you're going to do, when you're going to begin, and how long you're going to try it out for. Basically, don't be stupid. And if you liked what you heard, please share this episode with a friend or on social media and tag me at coach.jessdiamond when you do. Otherwise, that's what I have for you on the different types of fasting, and this concludes another episode of How to 20-something. I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new episode.